Welcome back to the FPL Draft Hub podcast. It's episode 2, and this is a review of the draft. Hello, Draft Fantasy Managers. Welcome to the FPL Draft Hub podcast. If it's your first time here, my name's Mitch and I'm your host. Recording this on Tuesday the 13th of August, so game week 1's done and dusted and out of the way. Not going to be talking about that too much on this podcast. Today I'm going to focus on the draft, which our league did last Thursday in the evening, just after transfer deadline day. We all headed into London, went to one of the group's offices in Bank, where we had a conference room set up, beer and cider on tap. Everyone had their various apparatus out on the table, laptops, tablets, some old school with pen and paper. And after an hour or so of admin and getting each other well and truly shook up, we got going. So I'm assuming most of those listening will have done their draft by now. If not, you really need to get a move on. But the way it works on the official draft version of the game is that you set a time for the draft to begin, and when it does so, the system randomly allocates the draft order. So for the first round, you don't know who's coming up next, and you'll suddenly appear on the clock. The selection is in a snake format. So in our 10-man league, once it gets down to the 10th man, he then gets the 11th pick and the picks cycle back up to the top again. For the past couple of years, I think I've picked second twice and was looking to have a similar pick again. Wanted either 1-2 or 9-10, just so that as the turns get going, you get two fairly quick picks in succession, which can make it easier to build a more balanced squad, but wasn't to be, and I ended up getting fourth pick this year. But overall, I'm pretty pleased with how the draft went. Managed to get a few players that I had my eye on and managed to build a pretty even squad. So I'll go through the first couple of rounds in a little bit more detail because that's where all the big boys are. And then I'm going to just go through some of the latter rounds, pick out some of the key players, some of the key omissions as well. Going to do a little bit of focus on some of the picks from the newly promoted teams. Obviously a bit harder to judge those. And then afterwards I'll do a run through of how my squad was looking after the draft. So straight off the bat, we had a bit of a surprise pick in the first round. First pick was, in my opinion, a toss-up between Mo Salah and Raheem Sterling. If I was first out, I think I'd have gone for Salah. But Harry Kane was first pick. Even more surprising in that a Chelsea fan was the one that picked him. So everyone was pretty shocked. But looking into the numbers, he's definitely someone with the potential that could be the highest scorer overall, especially if he stays fit. You know, prior to last season, had three consecutive campaigns in a row where he scored 200 points plus. But given some of the huge numbers that Sterling and Salah have posted this season and last season, just found it impossible to look past those two for one and two. But anyway, Raheem Sterling went in second, 234 points last year, 229 the year before that. As I said, I'm not really going to talk about the first game week in this podcast. That will come in one later in the week. But he looks set to continue that form. And then Mo Salah went third pick, which seems an absolute steal at pick number three. 259 points last year and a huge 303 points in that first season for Liverpool. And then moving on to the fourth pick, which was mine, and I went for Aubameyang. Fairly safe pick there. Completing the rest of the first round was Sadio Mane, Kevin De Bruyne, Sergio Aguero, Bobby Firmino, Marcus Rashford, and then in 10th pick was Paul Pogba. I think that first round was generally as expected. The only player I was possibly not looking at in the first round was Marcus Rashford, but a good case can be made for all of those players. As the round cycled back up, the guy in 10th who picked Paul Pogba also picked Vardy next, so had a nice pairing there of Pogba and Vardy, solid midfielder and solid striker to kick things off. And then we had Lacazette, Bernardo Silva, And then came the point that I wasn't sure when it would happen, but the first defender went. So that was pick number 14 overall, and it was Trent Alexander-Arnold who was the first to go out. Probably a toss-up between him and Robertson. Didn't matter too much as Robertson then went the next pick. So that was pick 14 and 15 overall. Then Heung-min Son went, so that broke the cycle of defenders. It was then my pick. Sort of struggling with regards to midfielders. So I'd already picked Aubameyang. Was thinking about Gylfi Sigurdsson. Also thinking about Pulisic, David Silva. But in the end, I kind of played safe and picked Virgil van Dijk. Wasn't originally planning to draft a defender that high up, but couldn't see him sticking around much longer, and he's a solid pick. So I picked Van Dijk. Next picks were Jimenez, Wilson and Aymeric Laporte for Manchester City. The third round was entirely made up of midfielders. Some surprising picks, some less surprising. Fraser went first in that round. Then we had our first player to get picked with zero Premier League appearances, and that was Pepe of Arsenal. Followed by Gylfi Sigurdsson. I then picked a slightly dubious pick, bit controversial in the room. Went for Riyad Mahrez, who initially I didn't have as high in my draft order. But looking at who was available, I was hoping Gylfi Sigurdsson would have been there, but I said he went the round before. Wasn't convinced David Silva's going to get the minutes this year. Wasn't convinced Zaha was going to do much. Richarlison, Felipe Anderson, all slightly risky. Pulisic was still there, but again, not quite sure how much game time he's going to get, how he's going to slot in and what the system's going to be. And given the injury to Sane, just thought he's definitely going to get a lot more minutes this season. Wasn't drafting him in under the expectation that he'd be starting every game under Pep. I don't think any of your City assets can have any assurance of game time with Pep at the wheel. But just thought he'd be getting enough game time. And he's posted some big seasons in the past. Only managed 102 points last year. Didn't get a lot of game time. The year before that, 195. Which, if you get that from your first rounder, you're happy about. 120 the season before that. And then that monster season with Leicester where he got 240 points. So I'm assuming if Sane's out for as long as they think he will be, Mahrez should expect to see a lot more minutes. So after I picked Mahrez, Pulisic went, so another new player to the league, followed by Maddison, David Silva, Zaha, Richarlison and Felipe Anderson. The first keeper to get picked was Alisson. He went early in the fourth. So he'd have been 32nd pick overall. A lot earlier than I was intending on drafting a keeper, but if you wanted one of those premium two, not the worst time to pick. And Ederson went shortly after. In general, a lot of the goalkeepers were spread quite evenly throughout the draft. And in the past couple of seasons, once one went, usually saw a run of six or seven going as everyone panicked that they weren't going to get a top asset. But I think people have cottoned on to the fact that having a premium goalkeeper isn't quite as vital as strengthening in other areas. But the main pick of note from the fourth round to talk about is Christian Eriksen. So he was the 36th overall pick, and I think could potentially be one of the best value picks in the whole draft. This guy has posted some serious numbers on FPL over the last few years. 161 last season. And before that has had totals of 199, 218 and 178. And he slots into a team in which the manager had already drafted Christian Pulisic, Heung-min Son and Sadio Mane. And he could easily turn out to be the strongest asset on that team if he stays and if he plays. Now there is a lot of speculation about him moving. Didn't start at the weekend. Still no resolution to the contract issues. It's difficult to see exactly where he might leave, but there is a lot of time left in the European transfer window for him to go. So a risky pick, but definitely a lot of upside if he turns out to stay. Looking at some of the newly promoted teams, so Villa, Norwich and Sheffield United, the first player from one of the new boys to get drafted was Wesley, the new Brazilian striker for Aston Villa. He went in the ninth round and he was followed quickly by Buendia. So Buendia was the first Norwich player to get drafted. Attacking midfielder, played 38 games last year, 8 goals and 12 assists. A solid pick. I was surprised he was the first one from that team to get drafted, considering the likes of Timu Pukki, who had a monster season last year, 43 games, 29 goals and 10 assists. I ended up drafting him in the round after. Norwich actually turned out to have the most players drafted out of the three newly promoted teams. So they ended up having 6 players drafted in our draft. Vrančić went, again another attacker, played 36 games last year, 10 goals and 7 assists. Interestingly, the two fullbacks got drafted. There's been a lot of hype about them in the press. Young Aarons and Lewis. Max Aarons got 2 goals and 6 assists last year. Played 41 games. Also voted EFL Young Player of the Season. So one to look out for. Not huge numbers. And likewise with Lewis, 42 games, just 4 assists. So I was surprised they were drafted. And then the other surprise was that Farman was drafted as somebody's second goalkeeper in the penultimate pick of the entire draft. Farman, who Norwich have taken on loan from Schalke, very experienced goalkeeper. He's played 16 Champions League games, played a total of 196 games in the Bundesliga, keeping 57 clean sheets. But clear that Tim Krul is currently the number one, and barring a bad run of form, is going to stay that way. So Krul ended up going undrafted, played all 46 games in the league for Norwich last season, kept 13 clean sheets. Krul, who will obviously be familiar to fantasy managers, played 185 games for Newcastle, keeping 53 clean sheets. So he's currently in the bin for the waiver wires. So that was Norwich. In terms of Aston Villa, apart from Wesley, who we've mentioned, the only other Villa player to be drafted was Tom Heaton, who again will be familiar to draft managers from his recent days playing with Burnley. Getting on a bit now, 33, so in his prime, could be a good signing for Villa, but have to see how that defence holds out in front of him. And then for Sheffield United, again, just 2 players drafted. And maybe not the 2 that you would expect to be drafted. 1 maybe, but Henderson was the final pick of the draft, who I think could end up being a solid goalkeeping choice. He looks set to start. Young keeper from Man United on loan, just 22 years old. Played all 46 games for Sheffield last year and kept 21 clean sheets. Best record in the Championship. So I think he could be a great asset to somebody, obviously meant to be a backup goalkeeper, but could end up being started on a number of game weeks. And the second Sheffield United player who got drafted was McBurnie, who had a great season last year, played 42 games, 22 goals and 4 assists. But I think Billy Sharp, who is their talisman, getting on a bit now, I think he's 33, played 40 games last year, 23 goals and 4 assists. So very similar numbers to McBurnie, but he is definitely the talisman for that team. So he went undrafted. Also, David McGoldrick was left out, 45 games, 15 goals and 4 assists. And then the other player who I thought somebody might take over one of the other Norwich fullbacks was Ender Stevens, left back or left wing back for Sheffield United, depending on their formation. 45 games last year, 4 goals and 7 assists. I think he'll definitely end up being in a few people's draft teams before the end of the season. And then looking back to Aston Villa, a lot of talk about Jack Grealish coming back to the Premier League, but wasn't drafted. I'm not surprised. I don't think he's a particularly great fantasy asset. Last year, played 31 games, 6 goals and 6 assists. And that's a season best for Grealish. He's never posted better numbers than that and can't see him doing so this year. Conor Howerton, another attacking player for Villa, played 43 games last year, 7 goals and 12 assists. I think he's another one who, if he gets going, could end up in and out of a few draft teams. John McGinn, the same, played 40 games last year in the Championship, 6 goals and 10 assists. The other player who's getting a lot of press, especially in the fantasy football sphere on Twitter, is John Lundstrom, English midfielder, plays central midfield. Haven't really seen much to suggest he plays anywhere else, but has been posted as a defender in the game, so can pick him up as an out-of-position player. Getting a lot of press in the regular form of the game because he just costs $4 million, so it's a great one to have as your fifth defender. Played 10 games, or made 10 appearances for Sheffield last year and posted just 1 assist. So I think in terms of the budgetary constraints of the normal game, definitely one to consider. But for draft managers, he's one that I would avoid. Next, I'm going to pick my best and worst picks in the draft in terms of value, as well as bring up a few notable mentions. So I'll start with my favourite picks of the draft. I think I'll reserve judgment on Christian Eriksen until we know whether or not he's staying, but could potentially be the pick of the bunch. I think John Stones in round 8 could turn out to be excellent value. Kyle Walker-Peters, who went in the 12th round again, if he can lock down that spot at right back for Spurs, could see him scoring a lot of points and would be great value from where he came in the draft. But the one I'm going to go for, and a player who was actually picked one pick before Kyle Walker-Peters, and that's Emerson for Chelsea. Looks set to certainly oust Alonso at the beginning of the season. I think it's definitely his place to lose. Has great potential both attacking and defending. Chelsea's defence tends to be a pretty solid unit looking back over the past few seasons, so should rack up plenty of clean sheet points. And just where he was picked in the draft in round 12, I think could be the best value out of them all. My worst pick of the draft was a pretty easy decision. I didn't have to look very far. And it comes in the 15th round, which usually you can tend to get a free pass on the players that you pick in rounds 14 and 15. You're allowed to have a bit more of a gamble. But picking Jack Wilshere in the draft for me is unforgivable. As well as being one of the most overrated players that's ever graced the Premier League, and being the type of player that can get injured just getting out of his car in the morning, this guy has done absolutely nothing in terms of fantasy football. Career high of 76 points back in 2013-14 season, where he got a season best 3 goals and 4 assists. Since then, has gone on to play virtually no Premier League football because he's been injured for most of the time. Last season, managed to play just 388 minutes. Looks set to start in the sort of central defensive midfield role for West Ham. And the thing to note is that this pick was so bad, I think he lasted in this manager's squad for all of about 10 minutes after the draft finished, and he was already out on a free agent. And I think the less fantasy managers see of Jack Wilshere, the better. So looking at the draft overall, I'll just give a rundown of how many players from each team were drafted. Unsurprisingly, Manchester City saw the most players drafted with 15. In second place was Tottenham. They had 13 players drafted. And in third position, surprisingly, was Chelsea, who had 12 players drafted. And then in joint fourth was Liverpool and Arsenal, both with 10 each. In joint fifth was Man U, Leicester and Everton with 9 players each. And then below that, the rest of the teams had 5, 6 or 7 drafted each, going down to Aston Villa and Sheffield with 2 each. Not surprising that Liverpool weren't higher up on that list, given that the front three and their defenders are the ones scoring the majority of the points. Their midfield trio don't really tend to feature much in the goals, assists, and so tend to float in and out of managers' teams as and when fixtures warrant. But interesting how many were drafted from Chelsea, given we're not really sure what their settled squad's going to be. Giroud was undrafted. Mason Mount was undrafted. Obviously, their injured players in Loftus-Cheek and Hudson-Odoi were left out. So there is definitely value to be had in that Chelsea team if you manage to pull out the midfielder that does get a run of games. But to have 12 go in the draft is surprising. I drafted Marcus Alonso in the 7th round as a bit of a punt, not expecting him to start that many games at the beginning, but this is a proven fantasy football asset, and I think if he does get a run of games, could get on to score a few goals and assists. So the full draft is available to look at on our Twitter page at FPL Draft Hub Pod. So you can see the full 150 picks in their entirety and see how the different teams lined up. But I'll outline my team just before we finish today. So as I said, started with Aubameyang and Van Dijk, then picked up Mahrez, then Eozie Perez for Leicester, picked up Dele Alli in round 5, which could turn out to be good value, then Lanzini, Marcus Alonso, Gerard Deulofeu, Lindelof, Timu Pukki, Danny Rose, Diop, Pope in goal in round 13, which I was very pleased to pick up. Picked up Mesut Ozil then in round 14 as a bit of a punt. Think he could get a run of games in the number 10 slot with Aubameyang and Pepe on either side and Lacazette up front. And then picked Heaton in round 15 as my backup keeper, which again I was very pleased about. Aston Villa and Burnley are one of the fixture pairings this year, so either one of them is going to be at home every single week of the season, so should be able to rotate the two in tandem for the rest of the year. That's it for talking about the draft. Tomorrow I will talk through game week 1 and also look ahead to the waivers ahead of game week 2 and discuss some players that are likely to have gone undrafted in your league who you might be able to get in ahead of next week. As always, if you like what you hear, please subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on. Follow us on Twitter at FPL Draft Hub Pod and send us some messages and we'll give you a shout out on some of the future episodes. Any trades you might have been sent that you're unsure of, any waivers you're considering, any players you're thinking about dropping, give us a shout. Remember that between game weeks, the work doesn't stop. Get on your WhatsApp groups. Use every available opportunity to psych out your fellow managers. Stay shook, and I'll be back in your ears tomorrow.